On today's episode of Off the Cuff, we are back to 2 days a week now that football season is here. And on today's episode, we will get into the final touches on fantasy football. The guys are doing their draft tonight, so they give their closing opinions on things, and then we will get into each of our division winner predictions. So full show for you guys today. As always, let's get rolling.
As much as I'm glad to have Amari back in the silver and black, we talk about these guys who miss camp due to holdouts, always struggling. What about a guy who wasn't even in the facility? Bro just shows up with his backpack and his cleats freaking a week before the season. I still think Jacoby being on the block has a lot more to do with that rookie Thornton, Trey Tucker, rookie Jack Beck. I think they've got another guy in that room who is not a bad receiver. Fogle, I think you might be right. I think this might be more about Genty, especially we know what's with Brock Bowers, but Jacoby's not needed.
I disagree that he's not needed. I think he's absolutely needed as the WR1. They don't have an established one. He's barely an established one as it is. So for me, I think this is more of a Raiders definitely don't want him to go anywhere, and Jacoby decided he's going somewhere, and we'll see who breaks first. But you do not go into an NFL. Pete Carroll doesn't want to go into this season without his wide receivers that are already established.
I don't know, man. To me, this screams Jacoby's mad because of his position in the depth chart in that receiver room.
He's definitely the one. I highly doubt he was not the one going into the year.
Why is he requesting a trade then? I'm sure he thought he was the one.
There's probably until
Pete Carroll
else,
came
yeah.
in. It's the only thing that makes sense.
What are some of the best landing spots for Jacoby Myers?
It's a contract dispute, Chuck. He's asking for a new contract.
Jacoby, where should Jacoby land? What about the 49ers?
They got a lot of depth, I feel like.
Yeah, they're all hurt. Juwan Jennings is out for 4 to 6 weeks now. Going into the year, Brandon Ayuk isn't.
Ayuk became a bum when he got his contract. I know his ACL tore, but like.
Yeah, he kind of did. It's a little Kenny Galladay situation for sure. I think 49ers is probably a decent shout, and it's across conferences. So you can make that argument that maybe it's warranted.
Vikings?
I don't know why, but hear me out. Does Jacoby Myers scream like, God, he's such a Baltimore style receiver? Where it's like not super flashy, but would get it done.
I don't think so, because they just got D-Hop, no? So I think they're satisfied.
They did. Yeah, they're probably fine.
I mean, they got Rashad Bateman in that quiet, good receiver role right now.
Yeah.
And likely might as well be a receiver.
Get him in New York with neighbors.
See, my issue with landing spots is we're so close to the season. No team wants to bring in a guy now. Maybe Jacoby just wants more money, and that's what this is about. And we've seen it time and time again. We saw it with Trey Hendrickson, who also just got his extension 1 year but we see it time and time again. These guys request a trade, like you said, because they want more money. Nothing
did
else.
I miss that? Hendrickson got signed.
Yep,
he didn't get signed, but they're back into negotiations. I thought.
No, he just got signed 1 year deal.
What?
Gross.
Yep.
Who?
Yep. Pull it
Trey
up.
Trey Hendrickson for sure just got signed. What's the price? It's got to be like 40 mil.
One year with a bunch of incentives.
Rodgers treating off the cuff right now.
That's unfortunate. Oh, man. If you're a guy coming off a career year like that, you do not want to sign a one-year deal.
Dude.
They weren't offering him anything else, it seems.
What's the price? Anybody got it?
So he has agreed on a it's a $14 million raise, so his total is $30 million a year for one year. Which is still
what's guaranteed?
Probably $30 million.
He probably gets all that. There's no way.
Still scheduled to be a UFA next year.
Don't love that.
Oh, I think it's safe to say that Terry McLaurin, who also signed his extension,
yesterday, today. He won the holdout, and I think it's safe to say that Trey Hendrickson did not win the holdout.
I would agree there.
Yeah,
100%. You know what? The Bengals got off lucky. Bengals got off very lucky. Because now they get to wait a year.
Guaranteed money is guaranteed money, no doubt. But you got to believe that he wanted some contract security.
I mean, they all do. You're coming off a career year. I wonder how old he is. Let's take
He's 30. But
so, like, even then, a three-year deal at 30 worth, I don't know, 20, even if it's 30 a year on the dot.
Well, they're looking at TJ Watt's contract,
which
and they're looking at Myles Garrett, who's 29 this year. And they're saying, okay, I produced more than these guys. They got their 3-4 year deals. I want mine. And that's, you know, the plus 30.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, and it's fair. Difficult. It's a fair argument.
No, no, who knows? I agree.
Who knows if Trey just wanted guaranteed cash in his pocket because now he gets to go back to the table this time next year or the summer, you know, next summer.
Yeah, but it's worse for him next year because he'll be 31.
Right.
Even if he has a monster season, they're still going to hold that against him, unfortunately. So my thought is, I wonder if he felt like he was ready to sit out for the year and he was losing this battle with the Cincinnati Bengals and just decided, like, I'm going to lose game checks. Let's not lose game checks. They're going to offer me a full bag. I'll just take the full bag. You know? Not the best situation, but
sounds like old cheap Brown. What is it, Mike Brown?
Yep.
Grant? Sounds like cheap Mike Brown did it again.
No, they're bad. Their front office is horrible. I know fans that are longtime fans that are about willing to jump off that ship.
Yeah, where are they going to jump to? Cleveland?
There's nowhere. Pittsburgh.
You know what I mean? They just
Pittsburgh. That's the closest thing.
And you can't jump in division. Come on now.
Shit, if it's that bad in Cincinnati, you might as well.
Hey, I live in the city. It's a little different outcome.
Yeah, if them Cincinnati folk want to pick up shop and take it to Pittsburgh,
now if they're gonna fly out to Philly, that's a whole different story. But
they got to move out to Steel City.
Yeah, if they're gonna rock the black and yellow, they gotta
raise their kids in the Steel City if that's the case. You know, I wasn't about to do that. I know I'm wearing a blue shirt today. That's no correlation, but still.
So I never realized that Avery Johnson is black.
Technically. Yeah, that was new to me.
Brand new to me.
That was new. I didn't. On top of this, the dad and the brother getting into scrap, man. I mean, hysterical.
I don't know if I love it or hate it. I'm the same way.
I'm like
somewhere on the love side.
You know it was about the game too. You know it.
Well, especially because you know Avery was catching some major flack after that game. I mean, we knew going into the season that Avery struggles sometimes at quarterback, but he's an athlete. You know, he can tuck the ball and run. He's a gamer. But of course, there were some questions going into this season about Avery Johnson, Kansas State quarterback. But yeah, he was catching some major flack on the internet about being the reason they lost. And so, yeah, Kojo, I can only assume that the family brawl that ensued after the game was related.
And Chuck, the best part about about that. They released a ChatGPT apology. It was hysterical. No,
did they?
Dude, I didn't see that. It was hysterical.
Did you guys see the Rampage Jackson thing on a side note? Rampage Jackson.
Yeah, that's
son?
Horrible. Dude, that's horrible.
Dude.
Holy,
I mean, come on.
Crap.
I heard about it. I didn't see it. What, he went too far on a sparring or something?
No, it's not even sparring, man. It was a wrestling event, WWE type style thing. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was WWE specifically, but he got in an altercation with one of the wrestlers in the back. When one of the wrestlers messed with him, they got over it, shook hands, da 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 da. And his son's part in this event was to come out from the stands, double leg him, and just bring him to the ground, right? Like in a WWE fashion. He brought him to the ground and then just started shocking him full force with bare hands, like bare knuckles. And he's out cold and he's still doing it. and they had to like three of the four of the wrestlers, like they stopped what they're doing in this, it's a fake event, picked and like grabbed him and took him off the guy. And the guy didn't move and they had to bring him to the hospital. Apparently he's good now, but like maybe, I don't want to throw words out there, but not good.
Yeah. So what ensued like prior to what Fogel's talking about? This wrestler smashed a beer on Rampage Jackson's son's head. I think his name's like Raja.
Yeah.
And he didn't get over it.
But apparently it's like a beer that's supposed to be, it's like an event thing. Like they have like fake cans, whatever. Oh, they smash it on people. It's not a real beer. It's not a real beer. It's like one of those prop things where it like smashes and it looks worse than it is.
Yeah.
From my understanding. I don't want to go too far into this, but. If you see the video, Chuck, it's like, it's bad. Like
it's unacceptable.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
It's horrible.
Hope the guy has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, definitely. That. Well, fellas, it appears that your fantasy draft is tonight. How y'all feeling about it?
One rule going into the season: don't trade with Fogel. And that's every league.
I hear that rule every
year. In every league I'm in with Fogel. Don't trade with Fogel.
I will say this year in fantasy is a little weird.
You say that until before the season even starts, you can sneak Tank Dell away from him before he even knows what he's got.
Tank Dell? Where does Tank Dell come from? He's gone for the year.
But I think it was 2023 when Tank Dell was a rookie, I believe. Me and you, Fogelman, made a trade preseason for like some bum, and I got Tank Dell.
Oh yeah,
it just goes to show you, Fogelman has built Fogelman has built quite a reputation for himself. But at the end of the day, you can still trade with them. My rule, Kojo, is you just have to know what you're getting when you go to the negotiation table. Because if Fogel calls you up telling you, bro, you need to do X, Y, and Z, hang up the phone. But if you know what you're getting into, if you know what you're getting into, all is fair in the game.
I'll say this, Charlie, because Corey won't trade with me. I will say, if you come to the table first, it usually pans out better. If I come to the table, it's not a good thing.
Well, exactly. That's right. If Fogel's coming to you, there's a reason he's selling.
Yeah. And if I'm selling a player, it's usually I have either a very specific gut feeling or something turned me off hard that I'm like, I have a feeling sometimes and I know I got to dump someone within like a week. And then you'll see me come to the table too quick. That's how you know. But anyway, this year's weird, I think, for fantasy, because for me in like the mid-tier rounds, I don't know if you guys, like this is the first time in a while in the mid-tier rounds where I don't feel super confident about one or two, three specific individuals. Like, I feel like the mid-tier rounds, there's a couple guys like, hey, everyone knows about Sutton. Everyone knows it's like Rasheed, maybe Roma Dunze. But I think like everyone in that middle ground, like nobody stands out too much to me right now. And obviously we're drafting tonight, so it's not going to change much from here to then. But I don't know. It's not as clear cut in previous years it was for me.
I think the board is a little bit weird this year because you got two things. You had a major running back resurgence last year. Mm-hmm. Fantasy football ADPs are very year to year. So we're thinking running back now. And we had an abnormal rookie performance. I mean, all these rookies, not only were all the rookies good, even the ones that weren't fantasy superstars are everybody's favorite breakouts. The Xavier Worthies, the Romes. And then you had, of course, Brock, Ladd, Jaden, Brian, like the whole lot. And so the board is just weird to me this year.
I feel like we've overcorrected.
Yes. So this is a
I've done maybe 50 mock drafts. I've done 3 fantasy drafts already. You better get a running back or you're going to be left in the dust. That's what every draft has told me so far. You get to round 6, they're gone.
It's right at that Pollard cutoff, if you've noticed.
Yep.
Right at the Pollard cutoff, where if you're going 0 RB, you better be prepared to play this properly. I don't know about you guys, but in a lot of my – I know Charlie's going to be the opposite of me, but the rookie fever has definitely gotten out of control for the most part. Like, I'm seeing Travion Henderson in the fourth round now. Like, some guys are buying up on him. And, like, I get it. I think he's a superstar. But they're just, like, forgetting about what the logic is here. And it doesn't mean that, like, you're going to have any serious points in the first 6 weeks of the season. You just don't know yet. And you're pretty much gambling your whole season on it in the fourth round. You know what I mean? Right. Like, those are super early picks. So, like, I totally get it later on. I totally Absolutely get it agree. Later on. Like, I get a lot of, like, Matthew Golden, those guys, like, those are great shots. And I honestly, Omarion, I'm okay with that because I feel like he's the clear-cut one, and you know he's going to get a ton of touches right out the gate, and same with Jenty. But for me, and I'm almost – and I told you guys this earlier, in majority of my mocks, I find myself running a elder or an assisted living facility.
But, yeah, Fogle, so that's the thing with the rookies – when you get Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas, Jaden Daniels at a discount, where Matthew Golden's going this year, yeah, where Judkins is going now.
But you know, that's where they were going last year.
Right. Where, yeah, you can get Colston Loveland for free. And he's a top 15 pick. So you just got to pick your values. You know, Travion flew up the boards. That's the one that's kind of...
It's too far now for him.
I get it if you're a believer. You know, there's a lot of Travion believers, but now you have to, it's opportunity cost. You have to pass up on somebody who you know is going to be a part of that offense to get a rookie. That's where it's.
Yeah, you're giving up points, I think. And I think with, especially, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson's going like a 10th, 11th round. And like, with all due respect to Travion, who I think is the better running back, do not get that twisted. You don't even know how Mike Vrabel is going to utilize these guys. And you don't even know if Ramondre is going to get 20 touches out the gate and Travion's going to get five. You just and you're going to spend a fourth round, fifth round pick on them. Like, that's so crazy to me.
I had a listener message me this morning, and he asked me straight up. This is how far this rookie craze has gone. Should I trade for Mike Evans? For Marion Hampton, the answer is no. 10 out of 10 times, to me, personally.
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation. I do think they're going around a similar spot, and I understand Omarion. I think if you did a couple other guys, I would absolutely say no to everyone else. I think because I am obviously very high on Omarion. I know Charlie is too, but I don't know. And obviously, Mike Evans is probably my slam dunk player I've taken in almost all my mock drafts, and some people don't love that, but I don't care. He's going to give me what I know he's going to give me. But I think Omarion's fine. The rest of those guys, I wouldn't even – they're not even considerably the same value.
I mean, Mike is no doubt a dude. I mean, you'd have to really need a running back. Like, if you needed a running back and you had extra receivers, I mean, maybe. The thing with Omarion is the rookie profile with yards, draft capital, good team – dude, the list of draft capital with his production since 2010 is he's with guys that'll make your head spin, like the Nick Chubbs, the Jonathan Taylors.
He might be the only rookie. No, with genuinely speaking, he might be the only rookie I see as the slam dunk value for me. And I think and that takes a lot for me to say, but the rest of them, Jenty included, maybe you can consider Tets not in this bunch here. They're going where they're supposed to go, or they're maybe going a too early.
Yeah, Tets going high too. What I'll say about Travion too, like in the same breath as Omarion, he's another one, bro, with the production draft capital combo, or he's in a rare class. Like, people aren't. Last year was a wide receiver class. This year was a real running back class. So I don't hate if you're going to go all in and get Hampton. Travion is a little too expensive considering he's not a first round running back and he's getting treated like he got drafted.
He's also not the RB1. Like, we can say that out loud right now. He will be, but he's not right now. And I think the biggest thing that people are going to feel in the first 4 weeks of the season is, I drafted too many rookies. I don't have any wins because my rookies have not developed yet. Maybe in the back half of the year, you're going to start excelling. But as of right now, in the first 4 weeks, you're going to miss the postseason if you go 0-4. So, like, there's a probably what is a giant chance you do. Look at every NFL team in the book. So I think you got to be able to leverage it. You got to be able to be careful enough. Whereas, like, you got to pick up wins and give yourself the upside of the rookies.
Chuck's shaking his head over there at everything you just said.
I mean, it's, well, but it's true though, you know?
It's true. It's true. If you're going to go rookie fever, you better get the guys that are producing out the gate.
You better lock down something like Debo or whoever that you think's going to get yards out the gate and you're not concerned because, you know, someone like Terry's coming into camp now. You're like, all right, Debo might be a value at the beginning of the year. It's when he's healthy.
Yep.
Like, you better get in on those guys before you're sitting here waiting for half the season for your Justin Jefferson breakout. You know what I mean? You better get in.
Well, this late is season breakout.
Hold on. This is what I think about the rookie RB craze, and I'm not high on this player. I'd rather take James Cook over Marion Hampton and Travion Henderson today, personally. I think James Cook's going to outscore both of those players.
And he very well might. He might as well.
Omarion, even Travion, and some drafts were being taken ahead of him.
The only reason I feel the way I feel about Omarion is because of his situation. I feel if Travion Henderson was in the same situation as Omarion and the players were flipped, I would say the same thing about Travion because I do think they're both talented. But I'm very I do want to be involved in the Chargers backfield per se, and that's part of it. And the fact that they invested so heavily, the rest of them, and James Cook might just outscore both these guys, if we're being honest.
I have a hypothetical for y'all, and this is, again, regarding fantasy, though. Let's just say there was a world where Omarion Hampton was a Raider and Ashton Jeanty was a Charger. What would your guys' outlook be with those players now?
Hampton would be drafted two rounds later, at least.
Yeah. So Hampton would probably be, I think, the big drop-off, Grant, between Jeanty being basically the first-round pick right now is the fact that people think he's so much more talented than the rest of the class, and he's not. You know, I think we can say that. He's very talented, but he's not Saquon Barkley. You know what I mean? And that's where he's being drafted as a rookie, where Saquon was being drafted as a rookie in the same bad situation.
Well, Fogle, I also want to be careful with, did you see that preseason hit?
Yeah, I did. It was awesome.
Ashton Jeanty might still be. And I've been saying all summer, I think Hampton is closer to Jeanty than he is to the rest of the backs. Jeanty still might be special. So I want.
No, he could definitely be special. He's a top six pick. I'm sorry, but what you did in that preseason game, leveling that guy, that's the expectation. That's not a highlight. That's what I'm expecting from you every single week.
So I don't think anyone's drafting him top six. I think Jefferson, CD, no, going it's ahead.
Top six NFL draft. Sorry.
Right. So if you're drafting him over McCaffrey and King Henry,
you're high. You're high. Yeah.
Crack.
But there's a spot at 9, 10, 11, 12 where it's, do you trust Brian Thomas and Drake London, or do you want to go get your running back? And that's where, if you like Jeanty, the draft capital and production tells you he's going to be a top 10 fantasy back this year.
I would stamp on the podcast right now that he's not. That would be my personal opinion. I don't think we have a top 10 rookie running back, and if we do, it's going to be Omarion.
That's what the data shows, though. So even if it misses,
this goes to show how big situations are in fantasy football. Ashton Jeanty is the better running back over Omarion Hampton. It's not even close.
Absolutely.
To me personally, not close.
I think it's close, but I absolutely think he's better.
So in a given year, I would even argue, you know, on any other team, Ashton Jeanty is going to finish top 10, but he's on the Raiders with Brock Bowers. It's tough to do. They're not the Lions, and they can produce a top 10 player on their offense on two positions. Like, that's just not who they are. So you got to pick your battles in this offense. While with the Chargers, they can do that. They have Justin Herbert at quarterback.
They've got Ladd. They've got Herbert.
I just don't think the Raiders are going to have enough chances at the goal line to really show Genty's true potential. And I think he's going to be really good in the NFL. But my issue with drafting him so early is you're drafting a guy that we don't know how many touches he can get at the goal line. I do trust Pete Carroll, but it's just risky. And it's like too much risk. And he's not going to finish RB1 overall. And if you're going to take that kind of risk, just take CMC at the same spot because that's where he's going. So why don't you just do that? Because you know the pass, he could have more receptions in receiving totals than Genty does have points for all we know. Like, that's how good of a player that is. So it's like, why are you taking the risk on Genty when it'd be different if he was at a really good team? How about that?
Well, I think McCaffrey's been pushed up to the mid late first. If you're going to go Genty in the late first, I've actually become a fan of that. And here's my logic. What if Brock Bowers makes the Raiders better? What if Ashton Genty makes the Raiders better? What if the Raiders are going to score more because now they have good players? Like, that's something I'm not – maybe the Raiders are still not going to be a great team, but they've got offensive weapons. That Geno's a good quarterback. Why can't this team score points?
It's offensive line. That's the concern, and that's been the concern all
offseason. It's not only that, but offensive line's a great shout, but the other shout to me is there is no decoy. There's nothing for teams to be scared of on this Raiders team other than two players.
Well, here's what, do you think? What I would say.
Brock Bowers not lining up in the far side of the, in running streaks, and you're concerned. Well, that's why teams that have good X's, the running back does well, because AJ Brown's on the outside. We're all freaked out by the O-line and Saquon, and you still got to guard AJ. The Raiders have one dimension to them, and that's Brock Bowers or Ashton Genty.
One thing I'll add, that's not crazy, fantasy related, Chuck. There's one thing. When a quarterback is out for a game, you notice betting lines drop by 4 points for that team. When a top five player on that same team is out, the line doesn't change at all. There's a reason for that. Really, the scoring comes from your quarterback still, no matter what.
And hasn't Geno been good?
It's been better than Aiden O'Connell.
He's been mediocre at best.
And that's – the Raiders have been bad.
Geno's sneaky. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not.
So here's what I would say to that logic, that the Raiders are one-dimensional because they have two players. I would say that you can use the pass to set up the run.
They don't have a pass. With Thornton, a bunch of rookies is not a passing game.
With Brock Bowers and Geno Smith, I would argue.
Brock Bowers is not your – just Brock Bowers by himself is not a passing game. No disrespect, but Brock has to do a lot more than just run routes.
They don't – this is the NFL. They've got guys in that receiver room. They don't
The NFL also has corners on the other side of the field. They're going to destroy them when they know that all they're doing is running the ball. Stack the box, see you later.
Here's what I would tell you in the counter argument. Geno Smith's a good quarterback. Brock Bowers is one of the best – weapons in football. They have a passing attack. The passing is going to be able to allow Ashton Genty to be set up because they're not going to ask Ashton
Let me ask you this. If you're creating a game plan today as a defense to attack the Raiders, everyone would say the exact same thing. What would you say?
Stop Brock Bowers at all costs, and they still
stack the box.
No, bro. How are you going to stop the box with Brock Bowers?
Why wouldn't you? There's nobody on the outside to hurt you.
Brock Bowers.
I agree.
There's nobody on the outside. Brock is not an outside guy. There's nobody on the outside. He lines up inside. Genty's inside. There's nobody on the outside to hurt you.
Brock can
stack the box, and this team is probably going to stall out on majority of their drives, which is not going to be scary. They're going to play good defense. They're going to run the rock, and Genty's going to have 25 touches a game, but the efficiency might be low. We'll see. He's going to break a few off, but
why do people think that a Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly-led offense – is just going to line up and hand it off to Genty every time?
Why they drafted him top six?
Well, yeah, because he's a beast, but they are not just going to turn around and give it to Genty into a stacked box. They're going to move Brock around, create mismatches, and if you don't stop or double Brock Bowers, The Raiders will score every
single
time.
That's the only person you would have to worry about. That's the problem.
What do you mean? That's the only thing. They have Ashton Jeanty now. That's the whole point.
If you stop Bowers, you stop the run game.
Not with Jeanty.
Yes.
That's the whole catch.
If that was the case,
like a word.
Yeah, but Dante Thorin might be really talented, and we don't know yet. Again, Jack Beck and Dante Thorin as your starting receivers going into the year is not good.
Well, it's Jacoby Myers, Amari Cooper, and Trey Tucker. It ain't Jack.
Even Amari, like as much as a fan, Amari's 33 years old.
My point is I don't know why we're acting like everyone loves Brock Bowers. Everyone loves Ashton Jeanty. And then we want to say, oh, well, they probably won't score much.
Because they won't. Like they really won't. Like it's not like either guy's going to have 10 plus touchdowns. And if Jeanty, I would say, is not going to have 10 plus touchdowns because they're not going to score that much.
What if the Raiders go 8-9?
I'd be shocked.
I mean, they could eat. They have Pete Carroll. They got Geno.
But look at the team. The team is not good. Just because you have Pete. Pete is a great head coach. Pete is
Jackson Powers Johnson. They got finger in the booty guy out of the locker room. I mean,
the team is not good. That's a simple pit. Pete's gonna have to build this team a little bit before he starts taking off.
All I'm going to say is, and we can move on. It's been a lot of Raiders talk. Yeah. We love Brock Bowers. We love Ashton Jeanty, but we hate their offense.
Is
that weird, Fogle? Is that weird?
I mean, I don't think anybody on this podcast with the straight face is going to tell you the Raiders are a top 10 offense. So,
well, they got two guys being drafted in the top 15 in fantasy. So
they shouldn't be.
No correlation.
Speaking of drafts,
no correlation to how they're actually going to perform in real life, Chuck. Come on, you know that.
100% agree.
So people betting real money has no indication on how people feel about
Chuck,
the potential of these teams?
You cannot integrate fantasy in the same sentence. It doesn't
Brock
work
is the best receiving tight end. Let me say this.
Fantasy is a form of sports betting. I don't know what.
Chuck, Brock Bowers, it might very well be the first or second best tight end in the league. Absolutely. His freaking Vegas line is 1,000 yards. They're not saying he's going to have a 1,500-yard season. Like, understand that. Like, it's not – like, Brock is unbelievable.
He's going over that line. We
might all need to take that, number one. Regardless of how we feel about this Raiders offense, Brock is probably going
to
beat that.
Well, because people are still scared to say Brock Bowers is a superstar. Like, this guy
is
one of the
– Everyone thinks that.
Everybody thinks that.
Brock Bowers is so the only reason he's behind George Kittle is because George Kittle blocks more.
Well, that's the
if
point.
If it wasn't for that, Brock Bowers, would be the, Brock Bowers would be the best tight end in the NFL.
People all agree Brock Bowers is good, but they're waiting for some guy on their Twitter account to tell them how good he is. Like no one wants to say that he might be a top 10 player in the NFL, but I digress. The Raiders are good.
There's a reason the Raiders have drafted bottom half and had top 15 picks the past 2 years. I don't see it changing this year, but I don't see them being as astronomically bad as you guys are saying either.
Any final thoughts on fantasy before you one start your draft and two we move on to our division predictions?
Good luck, gents. That's all I have to say.
Yeah,
good luck.
Fuck you, Fogle. Let's go on.
We're gonna have Grant's coming over for the draft. I'm gonna put it, and Molly's all excited as well, so I'm gonna put it on the TV.
That's sick.
Yeah, kind of sick.
No injuries for you guys.
Yeah, same as well.
That's the nicest thing I could say.
I hope I don't take CMC in the first and 30 minutes before week one, he decides he's not playing for the next.
Jamar Chase, welcome to the squad.
What a wholesome podcast we have.
Love it. No, you don't root for injuries or they come to you.
I agree.
Right.
That's fair. All right, fellas. So we're going to give our division predictions. Football officially starts from the NFL in, I guess, 8 days when this comes out, 9 days when this comes out. Let's start in the NFC East, and I'll go first here. In the NFC East, I believe the Philadelphia Eagles will win the division. I think that the Washington Commanders will finish second. And I think the New York Giants will finish third. I think that the Dallas Cowboys have too much drama, too much noise going around with Jerry Jones and with Micah Parsons primarily, that it's a huge distraction. And that's a real thing you see in the NFL nowadays. And I think there is new life in New York. I do think Jackson Dart will start eventually, and I think he'll be pretty good. That's my four in the NFC East. Yeah.
This is my craziest one. I'm not even going to lie. Charlie, I laughed at you a month ago. I can't laugh anymore.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome to the ship, because I have the Eagles winning the division. I know you have the Cowboys, but I have the Eagles winning the division. I have the Cowboys getting second. I have the Giants in third and the Commanders in fourth. And I looked at this Washington team and I realized they're not that good. They have Jaden Daniels in a hodgepodge of guys. Terry prolonged, has not been in training camp. They're going to get a slow start. And I'm betting you right now they're going to underperform this year. And the Giants are going to slightly underperform. And they may tie in wins, but the Giants might beat them or have another division win and just be barely, barely ahead.
Yeah, Fogel, I'm right there with you. I've got the Commanders and Giants having like very similar years.
I was shocked to look at the schedules and like thought about it.
I don't want to get misconstrued. Like, Jaden Daniels is a special quarterback, 100%. But it doesn't matter every time. I've got the Cowboys winning this division, boys. I can see it. It might even be the day of they play the Eagles that Jerry signs Micah. I think this Micah thing is a distraction for the media world, not for the team. This team's locked in. They know Mike is going to be there. I'm sure Micah has told them, I'm going to be there. I just need to see the money in my account. Micah Parsons will be there. George Pickens will be there. CeeDee Lamb will be there. I've got them beating the Eagles week one, and I've got them winning the division. My biggest argument for this is that there has not been a new team, or there has not been a team to repeat winning this division in, what, 25 years? It's the craziest stat going in the NFL right now. There's a new division winner of the NFC East every year. So it's not going to be the Eagles. We can safely say that. Sorry, Eagles fans. It's the Cowboys or the Commanders. And I'm with Fogel. I've got the Commanders sophomore slump. Call it whatever you want. I think they're going to be struggling.
Kojo, what you got?
An interesting thought process there. Chuck is a history guy.
Yeah.
I am, in fact, not. There's a first time for everything. Eagles win the division. I have the Cowboys getting second. I have Commanders and then the Giants. This is the year the Giants fire Brian Daboll, Joe Schoen. The show is over. I genuinely don't think they are better now than they were last year. Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter, doesn't make a difference to me. It actually helps my case if Jackson Dart's playing more football because you have rookie woes. Do you think Jackson Dart, if he plays, he's a guy like Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud? Because I sure don't. So if he plays, they're bottom five of the NFL altogether.
I actually like that take, Kojo.
I think for me, it's a culture thing. I think they're changing the culture there. I like the energy they have there. Jackson Dart showed a lot in preseason. He's not going to start, obviously. He'll come in week eight, maybe, but I don't know.
I think Brian Daboll would have a job tomorrow, and I respect him as a head coach, and I think he's one of the better head coaches in the league. And I think he has been dealing with Daniel Jones for a long time, and I think anyone in that room that he currently has is better than that, and they were top five last year. So I'm hoping that I work out here and I'm right that the defense takes an up step and that team wins a couple games they shouldn't. But we'll see.
Let's reverse the order here. Kojo, what are your predictions for the NFC North?
So this is my favorite one, personally. So have the Packers winning the division. Lions are second. I am considering offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator changes. I have the Bears third in the division. Vikings finish last. Jordan Addison being out for 4 or 6 games, whatever it is going to hurt them. I am also the world's biggest quote unquote hater of JJ McCarthy. I do not think he's good. I don't think this is a guy that Kevin O'Connell can fix. Vikings finish last.
Does that leave me up?
Kojo, are you reading your notes or mine?
Let's hear it.
I think this division is genuinely going to be so close. Like, I actually have a hard time predicting who's going to finish above who. But it's for that reason I've got the Packers. If this is a close race in December, the Packers will pull away. So I've got the Packers winning the division. I think Jordan Love is... People think Jordan Love is good. They don't think he's as good as I think he is. And I think that Matthew Golden is going to be a dog. I think Romeo Doubs is a good receiver. I think Jaden Reed is a great receiver. Tucker Kraft can play. You know Josh Jacobs can play. You know their offensive line can play. Can Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love put it together going into the playoffs? That's the question. I think they can. I've got the Lions second. I think they're going to have some coordinator struggles, but at the end of the day, I believe in Dan Campbell and that culture more than I liked those coordinators. But their schedule's brutal, and they play less dome games, so they're going to be second. Third, I've got the Vikings. I don't really know what to think about JJ McCarthy, but the Vikings are stacked. Like, this team is good. If they can just get 1 or 2 wins with Jordan Addison out, he'll come back and they'll hit the ground running. JJ McCarthy can literally do as little as humanly possible, and that team will probably still win games. And then I've got the Bears and Caleb Williams, much improved, much, much improved. This team's going to win 8-9 games. But they're probably going to somehow finish last in this division.
Are we in agreement that these are our real and genuine thoughts and predictions?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Corey, I am literally smack dab identical to you. I think the Packers are going to win this division. I think they're so much better than people realize today. They're almost one of those teams right now where I'm like, do I stamp reputation on them? Because I think they're way better than people realize. The Lions I have in second place. I have them in second place, even with OC, DC changes, even with my lock of the year being under 10.5 wins for them. The reason for that is the culture is too much. They've already established a winning culture. They have talent on both sides of the ball. I can't just pretend they're not still a 9/10 win team, regardless of what's going on. So I think they're still going to win games they're not supposed to, and I still think they're going to beat up on teams they are supposed to. I have the Bears in third place, just like you, Corey. Much improved. Ben Johnson is one of the perennial offensive minds in football today. Caleb Williams finally getting to hit his stride. I think they're going to win 8, maybe 9 games this year. I have the Vikings in last place, and there's a big reason why I have them in last place. One of those is JJ McCarthy is brand new to the system. The second is Addison is suspended, and I think that's a big hit. And the third is their run game will not be anywhere close to what it was last year. Aaron Jones is now, 30 years old. They signed Jordan Mason. I'm telling you, I do not think that JJ McCarthy is going to be able to leverage his entire game plan off play action. He's going to have to prove it to everybody. They will not run the ball well, and if they don't run the ball well, nothing will work. So that's why I have them in last place.
I'll start this out with agreeing with you, Chuck. I think the first place in this division to the last place is a matter of 3-game difference. With that said, I do have the Vikings winning this division. Genuinely. I think great defenses, even with an average quarterback, are still good teams. And I think Kevin O'Connell can level up JJ McCarthy from an average quarterback to a good quarterback, and we'll still be able to see that offense produce in the way that you would expect a Kevin O'Connell run team to do. I think second place, I'm a believer in Ben Johnson, the Chicago Bears. I think they've got a lot of energy. I think Caleb is going to show his true talent. And I think fixing the most important piece of an offense was crucial to them this offseason in that offensive line. I love the weapons they have outside. I think that their defense is going to be a little more revamped and have some energy again back into it. I like what's going on in Chicago. I've got the Lions in third, still as a playoff team, though. I don't like the coordinator changes. I love Dan Campbell, love the energy he has, but I've seen this before, really just from the Eagles, though, so let's not say it's history. Coordinator changes are difficult. Jared Goff's a veteran quarterback, though. He can still lead that offense. I'm worried about the defense still a little bit. We'll see, though. Then I've got the Green Bay Packers, not a believer in Jordan Love whatsoever, and I have questions about Matt LaFleur nowadays.
You're out on the Packers.
Very out on the Packers.
It's crazy. We had the Kojo and I had the exact opposite of what you had.
I know it.
I agree with most of what you said, except the Packers. I think the Vikings are going to be great, but I think the Packers are, I'm a believer.
It's going to be, I don't know. There's something about the Green Bay Packers I've always been iffy about. I think if they weren't the Green Bay Packers, people wouldn't be so high on them.
I don't know, man. Matt LaFleur's been there how long? 6 years?
Yep, and what has he really done?
Had Aaron Rodgers 10-plus win seasons with four of the 6 years.
With Aaron Rodgers as two-time MVP back-to-back years.
And Jordan Love.
And Devontae Adams. And now you have Jordan Love and who? A plethora of receivers, not a great receiver.
The best running back they've had in the last 10 years?
Aaron Jones was pretty good in Green Bay, too.
Yeah, he was.
Chuck, wasn't Josh Jacobs.
Chuck, start us out with your NFC West predictions.
NFC West. I've got the Rams winning this division. I think Matthew Stafford, assuming he's going to be fine, and I'm more on the same page now of a Dan Orlovsky, who made this great point, who I got to give him credit because I'm going to steal what he said. They were being careful with Matthew Stafford because this is the last dance. Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay are going to try to win the Super Bowl with Devontae Adams and with a young Puka Nacua, Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, that whole defense. The Rams are going all in this year. They just had to make absolutely sure Matthew Stafford was ready to go. This team might win 14 games, genuinely. I've got the Niners also having a great year. I've got them struggling with the schedule a little bit. So I've got them second place. I've got the Seahawks third, a team a lot of people are high on, a team that people don't realize how good they were last year. I love Kenneth Walker. I think he's one of the better running backs in the NFL that people don't realize. Kenneth Walker is genuinely like a top elite echelon back in the NFL. The people who say that it's going to be a timeshare with Charbonnet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Sharb's good. K9 is that dude. JSN's good. Cooper Kupp's good. My concern is Sam Darnold. I think they're going to be about as good as they were with Prime Geno and Prime Pete Carroll. Not Prime, but you know what I mean. And then I've got the Cardinals. Feisty defense. They're in last place in this division.
I've got the exact same. I don't want to add on to it because Chuck took words out of my mouth. Look at the exact same right there with you.
I totally agree with you on the Rams. I think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. I think they can win the Super Bowl. I will not be surprised whatsoever. This team is set up right now. Like, they are so talented and they have the best coach in the division. I don't care if people love Kyle Shanahan. I don't care that Sean McVay was one of his disciples. Sean McVay is the best head coach probably in the NFC. The next I actually have the Seahawks finishing second instead of the San Francisco 49ers. The Seahawks are building over there, and they we've already went through this. I don't know if I need to go through all this again. They are a very good team, and I think right out the gate, they're going to make San Francisco 0-1. On day one, In terms of San Francisco, I have them in third, but I still have them finishing with a ton of wins. They're going to struggle in division. That's why I have them in third, because I do think they're going to struggle against the Rams, who Sean McVay has their number every time they play. And then the Seattle, I think, is better. I just think they're simply a better overall team right now. San Francisco's very injured going into the year. They barely have enough skill players on the offensive side of the ball to even start at this point. They had to go trade for Brian Robinson Jr. because their whole backfield is destroyed outside of CMC. I love CMC this year for fantasy, but I can't pretend that he's going to be the CMC of old in terms of winning football games. I don't know. Maybe he's less efficient. So for me, I'm going to have San Francisco in third, but I still think they're going to have a decent year and make the playoffs. I have Seattle also making the playoffs. This is the division I have teams making the playoffs from. And then in last place is Arizona, who I have zero faith in outside of a young, growing team. Kyler Murray will win them a few games. They will not be a top five pick in the NFL, but they will still finish last.
Yeah, again, I'm opposite of all y'all. I've got the Niners winning the division.
I'd see that.
I definitely think that people are sleeping, you know, in parentheses, I guess you could say, on the 49ers because everybody's got this love for what is going on in LA. And I agree. It is a juicy thing to look at for sure. But the Niners know how to win games in the regular season, especially. And I think Kyle Shanahan's going to get those guys right again and back on the right path. Let's just hope they stay healthy. If they don't stay healthy, obviously they're not going to win this division, but I'm going to put good juju out there that nobody in the NFL gets hurt. So, I got the Niners in first. I've got the LA Rams in second. I still am concerned about Matthew Stafford. I don't think you need to get reps with a new receiver. That's Devontae Adams. And if you're hurt, you're hurt. And we'll see. And then I've got the Seahawks. We talked about it last podcast, I think, where people are very sleep on the Seattle Seahawks. And Arizona Cardinals, as much as I like and want them to win, Kyler Murray's just not it. Connor, lead us in the final division in the NFC, the NFC South.
This might have been my easiest winner of all the divisions. I've got the Bucks winning the division, and I have them winning it easily. I know that's crazy. It might be crazy to some, but I have them winning it easily. This team is unbelievable right now on both sides of the ball, well coached. They do have a new OC. They do have some injuries going on in the wide receiver room. I think they're going to be fine. I actually have the Panthers in second place here. Then I have the Falcons in third, missing the postseason by just a nut hair. And then I also have the Saints in last place, who I think are picking top five next year. The only reason they don't pick top five next year is because of Kellen Moore. If it wasn't for him, they'd be 101.
Chuck,
is the floor mine here?
Yep, how about it?
As everybody knows, I'm a huge Michael Penix believer. I've got the Falcons going scorched earth. I've got the Falcons as one of the best offenses in the NFL. I've got the Falcons winning 10 games, honestly. Probably at least, I don't want to say at least, but I got the Falcons winning this division. I think the Bucs are going to be great, but I genuinely, am I the only one with questions about these injuries? Not only just at receiver, but with Tristan Wirfs. I mean, I don't know. I'm the only one, it seems. I've got the Bucs trying to turn it on late to catch Atlanta in this division and shooting for a wild card spot. That's how I got Tampa. Amika is going to be special. Mike Evans is going to be back doing his thing. I think they're going to lose a couple close games, especially early. And we've been showing a lot of these third and fourth place teams love. I don't think the Panthers are going to be good. I don't think the Saints are going to be good either. I mean, yeah, they might have some good pieces. Bryce might look good. Tedaro McMillan might be dunking on people, but they're not going to be winning that many games. Their defense is horrible. I think Carolina will be lucky to get close to 500. And I think the Saints, Kellen Moore is a great coach, but he's also a first-time head coach. that everybody in New Orleans is ready to give time, they're picking first overall next year, probably.
Wow. I have Bucks winning it, Falcons second. And that's closer than most divisions to me from 1-2. I'd compare it to the Lions, Packers from the NFC North. Panthers at 3. As high as I am on the Panthers, I love the additions on the defense for the Falcons and Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. Still have AJ Terrell back there. But Panthers are going to prove that they're not bottom of the barrel of the league anymore. And that is now being handed off to the New Orleans Saints, who are going to finish last. This is the worst team in the NFL. I'd consider jumping ship to another team if I was a Saints fan. That's how bad it is right now.
Pick up golf. Is that what you're saying? If you're a Saints fan on Sundays, start get tee times ready.
Go to church in the afternoon or something. Like, don't just skip the 1 o'clock game.
I will say on your behalf, on the even though I didn't have Atlanta in second, and Chuck, you did have him in first, you named some really good studs on the defensive side without naming Jesse Bates.
Yep.
Yep, I will repeat that, Kojo. I got the Bucks, but in honor of our good friend, not good friend, but in honor of Lee Corso's last college game day coming up, close. It's going to be really close between the Falcons and the Bucks for first and second, but I do see the Bucks squeaking it out. Same sentiment on third and fourth place for the Panthers and the Saints. Saints will, yeah, bottom three team. Absolutely. No questions. All right, I'll lead us out going into the AFC East. Pretty simple one for me. Buffalo Bills, nobody's disregarding them as the division winners, but I do have the Patriots getting second. Love what Mike Vrabel's cooking up there. Think Drake May takes a step ahead. I love the fact that they are going to probably establish a good run game, and great teams that can run the ball are usually pretty good. And then I've got the Jets third. I think they've got something going on in New York that's better than Miami, and I just don't like anything that is happening in Miami right now. That's my four.
I'm looking at Kojo right now. I don't know what Charlie's on. Are we about to have a 4-for-4 sweep here? Because, Grant, I am so unbelievably low on the Dolphins right now. I don't think I could be lower on what's going on right now, because I think people don't see the writing on the wall, and the writing on the wall right now is bad. You ever heard of red rum? That's what's on the wall right now, because it is about to go south for the Miami Dolphins, and I can see this. I don't know if I need to go into depth on this, but this team is not it. It's not it, and Mike McDaniels is not it. I'm sorry. For me, Grant, I am identical to you. There is nobody touching the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots will take a step forward. The Jets will win games with fields they're not supposed to win, but still not be competitive enough to make the playoffs, and the Dolphins will explode by the end of the year.
The exact same. So we're 3-for-3 right now. The exact same. Bills are the easiest division winner pick in the NFL right now. It's too
easy. In sports?
It might be in sports, to be honest with you. I love the Patriots and where they're going. Mike Vrabel is a culture guy. He's a defense guy. Jets, Justin Fields is going to be better than most people think. Straight off of athleticism. Dolphins, Tyreek Hill is traded mid-year to a contender.
I couldn't agree more with you, Kojo. I think identical to that. I think Fields is a freak athlete, and he's going to win them some games. I know you don't know. I know we feel indifferent about the fantasy perspective on the Jets, but the Jets are going to win games with Fields regardless, and people will be surprised by that.
I'm going to ruin the sweep. Honestly, I think the Patriots are going to be so good. I'd love to just pick them, but the Bills are going to be so good this year. They're going to win the division. The Patriots could win 10 games, have a monster year, and they won't win this division. So I've got Bills 1, Patriots 2. I agree with all the sentiments there. I wonder if Tyreek Hill is just cooked. Like, is the writing on the wall just Tyreek is a bum? Like, is it less about the Dolphins? Because I agree that Mike McDaniel might not be the guy who's going to take Miami to the Super Bowl or to the top of the AFC. But he's a good coach in terms of X's and O's. Is he a good culture builder? No. Wears too much gold, you know, wears funny sunglasses. But I mean, he's not a football guy. But he knows X's and O's, and he's as smart as a whip, above the shoulders, knows as much about football as anybody else. And so when I look at the Dolphins, I like Tua. Their offense is going to be good. Their defense is probably going to be horrible. But guys, the Jets are going to get a new quarterback next year in the draft, and they're going to do so by picking in the top five. So I got the Jets last, Dolphins third, Patriots two, Bills first.
Well, continue on then, Chuck, and give us your AFC North.
Again, the top, I'd love to pick a new division winner, but the Ravens are so dominant. Unless this foot injury with Lamar is more than we realize, they've got Derrick Henry too. Like, without that, the Ravens are stacked. It's just a question of if they can go on that postseason run. We all blame Lamar, but dude, it's tough to go on and win the Super Bowls. And so I'm a little bit more, maybe to my fault, patient with John Harbaugh and Lamar. Let's wait for them to do it before we say they can't do it. So I've got the Ravens first. I've got the Steelers second, guys. This is a good football team. They went all in for a reason. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, look, you know I'm a history guy. Aaron Rodgers is following the exact same script as Brett Favre, like to the T. He even got to a new team that was ready to contend. The Steelers are going to be a problem this year. They'll probably have the same amount of wins as the Bengals, but it's going to be a question of who's two, who's three. I think all three teams will probably get in, being Ravens, Steelers, Bengals. But I think there's a three-horse race in that division. I've got the Bengals third, and it's going to be on Joe Burrow's arm to get them there. And the Browns are going to be last. Judkins might go for 1,000 yards, but that's all there is to say about them.
Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre's tracks are not even remotely the same.
What?
Just by the way.
What? Whoa.
Wait. They did both go to the Jets.
Brett Favre retired, came back out of retirement.
You're telling me Aaron doesn't wear Levi's?
Aaron wishes he's wearing Levi's. Instead, he's wearing a Shaka hat.
Well, Kojo, can I try to paint the picture? You've got a multiple-time MVP, one-time Super Bowl winner on the Packers, goes to the Jets in the eve of his career, falls on his face completely. People write him off. He's done. And then he goes to another contending ready team that just needs a quarterback at age 40. I mean, that's the only difference is Rodgers is on the Steelers.
Brett retirement was in this, Chuck. Like, Brett Favre was.
But if you throw retirement out of it, it's close.
Out of the league.
The day Aaron throws a dart from 50 out with time expiring to the back of the end zone against the 49ers in the playoffs, I will agree with you. Because it may happen, but I'm just saying.
Do you think it's fair? That was
a crazy throw.
Do you think it's fair to comp Brett's retirement drama with Aaron's darkness retreat drama?
No.
Is that a fair comp?
I don't. My AFC North picks are... I just disagree, Chuck. It's crazy to say, like, they're one completely different quarterbacks, but that's here nor or there. AFC North, Chuck's going to hate this too. I have the Bengals winning it. I have the Bengals
winning everybody else.
I have the Bengals winning it. As much as we want to talk about their offseason antics. Did or did they not get their guy signed? Yes.
They did. They did.
As much as we want to talk about the way they went about it, it got done. Doesn't matter. Ravens second. I'm solely putting them there just because I think Joe Burrow has a full healthy season and the defense might shock a little bit more people than we think. Jamar T, self-explanatory. Steelers in third. Mike Tomlin's career is on the tail end. I do not believe in Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to DK Metcalf. Defense is always going to be stout. That's the Steelers. They're always going to be stout. But to win games, you got to have points. Who do they have running the ball?
Jalen Warren.
Jalen Warren, Caleb Johnson. That's Jay my Warren. Point. That's my point. Last, obviously, the Browns. I think the Browns and Steelers are going to be close as well for fighting for last in the division. That's what I think about the Steelers this year.
I've got the Ravens winning the division, and I've got the Bengals second. I think when it comes to offensive production, I think the Bengals are slightly better than the Ravens, but when it comes to how good their defenses are, there's a huge gap in those different in those teams. And I think that the Ravens can produce enough offense to make the points and be the division winner, in that Joe Burrow will absolutely be lights out. Jamar Chase will be lights out. T. Higgins will be lights out. That offense, no joke. Best offense probably in the league, but it's not enough to carry that entire defense. I still have a lot of questions with it. Ravens win that division. Bengals second. I agree. Not really sold on Mike Tomlin. I'm not sure the Steelers have everything that they need and are looking for to actually make any kind of run. And I do actually have them missing the playoffs. And I've obviously got the Browns fourth. I don't think there's any change with anybody on that pick.
Yeah, Browns are going to be fourth, and no question to it. I have the Ravens winning the division. As much as I didn't want them to win the division, I really wanted to put the Bengals here. I can't. The defense is the same defense it was last year, and they were atrocious. They added Stewart from the first round. It's not enough. I think Joe Burrow's lights out. They're probably the best offense in football. Jamar's lights out. T's lights out. Chase Brown is lights out himself. They will still not win this division because the Baltimore Ravens are better coached and they have dynamic pieces on the defensive side of the ball that make the Bengals look like preschool children outside of Trey Hendrickson. That's the problem for me. So I've got the Bengals finishing second, and I battled with if the Steelers would make the playoffs for a while in this as my third team. I've got Mike Tomlin for the first time in his head coaching career at Pittsburgh being under .500. And I can't believe this, Kojo. I'm agreeing with you. I think he's out. I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's next year. But I think this is the point where you start to see a team that doesn't change with the environment of the NFL and starts to go on that slight decline enough to where, like, hey, we're starting to notice. And then maybe the next year it happens. Although, Chuck, I will say, I see the vision that you're trying to put out there. I 100% see the vision. I don't believe the vision's going to happen. That's the problem. I have the Browns finishing fourth, and I actually would probably say I think I have the Browns picking 101 next year. I think they are disgustingly bad. I think Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward are the only reason this team might be even remotely relevant and beat anybody. That's it.
I want to say two things. I'll keep it kind of quick. Are we all writing off Joe Flacco too easily? And is this team No. going to be more competitive than we think?
No, not at all. This team is not competitive.
The second thing, I also think it's crazy to count out Mike Tomlin, Aaron Rodgers, and DK. I want us to open our eyes to the fact that the Steelers might be good. That's all I'm saying.
Chuck, I agree with both your statements. I do think Kevin Stefanski has been coach of the year. He can coach football. Like, the Browns aren't going to be a bad team. They just won't be good. I mean,
right.
What's the difference?
Right.
But, and Mike Tomlin, I don't care how good or bad your team is, he's going to get them competitive. There's no, come on, you can't say they're not going to be competitive. So I agree with your thoughts, Chuck, but I still don't think it's enough to be first or second at all.
It's still the scrappiest division in football.
100%. 100%. Connor, lead us out with the AFC West.
Oh, what a one to leave me out with, huh? Mm-hmm. Look at Charlie over there smiling. Yeah. Boys, if you don't have the Kansas City Chiefs winning this, you don't even watch football at this point. Genuinely. I hate to say it, but like, do not, for the four of us on here, if you sit here and tell me that anybody other than the Kansas City Chiefs will win this without guessing somebody gets hurt, you're on crack. The Chiefs are winning this division. There is zero questions about it. There's a better chance they go 16-0 or 17-0 than lose the division with Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback. Second for me is going to be the Broncos. Maybe the best or second best defense in football. Sean Payton, I still am questioning a lot about the team and how far they will take this team, but I have them second. Third is going to be the Chargers. Losing Rashawn Slater for the entire year was a giant blow, and I genuinely think the Broncos and Chargers are very close to each other, and that's actually that one specific incident is what set me back slightly. I do think they'll be better. I think there's a chance they get 10 wins. I will not be shocked if they don't. And then fourth is the Raiders, who will be very improved as an organization and as a team. It doesn't take them out of fourth place, though.
Yep, I will repeat that. The Chiefs, if you don't have the Chiefs, that's crazy. They're like a Roth IRA. Just throw money on it, forget about it. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to make you a profit. I do have the Broncos second. I think they will be very good this year, and they will 100% be the five seed in my eyes. They'll be that first wildcard team. I love the Broncos, love what they've got there. The Chargers, I'm not so high on. I think they're fringe seven seed for sure, but I just don't think they're good enough to be a one or two seed. And the Raiders, yeah, I'm just not a believer. And yet, like Pete Carroll, they don't have the pieces.
Yeah, I batted it around all summer. Chiefs won't win the division. Unfortunately, the Chargers were my horse. Rashawn Slater going out, that hurts. I've got the Chiefs winning this division. I've got the Chargers second. I've got the Raiders third. I've got the Broncos fourth. I think the Broncos are going to be good. I think the Broncos are going to win 7-8 games.
Jeez.
But I look at their schedule. I think they're going to lose a lot more games than people realize. I think Bo Nix is great. I love Bo Nix. Their defense is stacked on paper. I think they had the best defense statistically last season, but they didn't have the best defense. So I think they're going to be a good defense, not a great defense. What I mean by that is I think they had a defense that statistically was the best in the NFL because of how they performed with their schedule. But honestly, I think the Broncos are going to take a slight step back, and I think the Raiders are going to be way better than people think. I think they're going to win 8 games, and I think that gets them to third.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the only one that's not convinced the Broncos are Super Bowl contenders yet.
Chiefs, this is the second easiest pick to win the division. Then I've got the Broncos. I would have the Chargers here if Chuck, like you said, Rashawn Slater did not go out for the year. It's a massive blow to the offensive line. Not someone you can replace easily. Again, Chargers 3, I have the Raiders finishing last. They are a building team right now. They're not quite there yet. A few more pieces or a couple more pieces, I can put them higher, but they're finishing last in the division.
I will say for the guys that have been following the Chargers preseason, what they've been doing, I know left tackle is probably the third most important position in football, maybe the second, depending on who you ask. They did move Joe Alt to the left tackle spot from right tackle.
Good to know.
So keep that.
Who's that right tackle now?
I know that's
they're still losing a big blow. I don't know, but the point is at least blindside, I would be comfortable that they figured it out, but it's still a huge blow.
Especially because Joel also played left tackle at Notre Dame.
The left side, the right side is not what I'm worried about, though.
I would say if you had to pick one of the two, you'd rather the blind side be figured out.
And if there's a team that has a tackle that can step up, it's the Chargers with Joe Alt, second year. I get that. And I think that they're going to be still pretty damn good, but I'm not confident picking them to knock off the Chiefs anymore.
Well, let's close it all out with your guys' division, the AFC South. Who wants to lead us off here?
All right. Jaguars first. I'm going to put it out there. Like, we are winning this division this year. New coach. But this is the peak of the Jaguars season, is winning the division. I don't see us making any sort of playoff run or anything like that. But first-year coach, winning division, great start for the franchise. Texans, second. Injuries. Defense is stout, though. I will give them that. It is one of the best defenses in the NFL. Colts, I have finishing third. This is always a team that we talk down on, and they somehow are fighting to win the division in November. Like, every year we talk down about this team, they just find a way. Defense, as I've said previously, extremely slept on. Cam Ward and the Titans, I have finishing last. You can have a number one pick, but that doesn't solve everything. And that's my reasoning for putting them at number four.
Yeah, no, Kojo, I like that. I like that. The Colts, people love forgetting about the Colts. And I agree with you, the Jaguars are winning this division. And it is the biggest lock to me at plus odds in the NFL, outside of maybe the Cowboys. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the most obvious team that has just underperformed how good they've been. You can write home about, you know, this, that. Secondary was terrible. You can try to argue Trevor Lawrence is bad, which it's a bad argument. This team was competing for the AFC for two straight seasons. Fell on some injury luck last year. It cost some people their jobs. This team is going to be ready to compete. The Texans' injury thing is the only reason I'm a little more confident on the Jags, or else I'd be a little bit more reserved. But without Joe Mixon, without Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs isn't there. I get it. They brought in this new coordinator. It's supposed to fix everything that Bobby Slowick did wrong. I just think there's more questions for the Texans than there were last year. So I've got them at 9 wins. I think the Colts are also going to win 9 games. So I think that's going to be a tiebreaker type of thing. Daniel Jones is a lot better than anyone realizes. Fantasy football, little tidbit here. He's going to be everyone's favorite waiver wire pickup after week one, because Daniel Jones will be a fantasy relevant quarterback. It pains me to say, but he will be. I just don't want him on my team. So the Colts will be competitive and might even be fighting to sneak into the playoffs. The Tennessee Titans aren't going to be good. You might think Cam Ward's good. That's fine. This team's not ready. I think they've got major holes. I hope that they're ready to be patient with Coach Callahan, because I think Cam Ward's going to look good enough. They'll win a few handful of games, but enough of the rookie quarterbacks coming in and taking teams to the playoffs. You know, we saw it 2 years in a row. I get it. The division's winnable. A lot of people are thinking, well, Cam Ward is going to be this year's rookie quarterback. I hear the sentiment. I just don't think the Titans are the team to do it.
I struggled with this one. It's like, do you put the team you root for as the number one in the division? Do you not? How do you play it? So I did put the Jags as the first team in the division, and I put them there with only 9 wins. That's it. I've got the Texans finished second, the Titans finishing third, and the Colts finishing fourth. I think the Texans are, I think when we start with the Jags here, I think the Jags are going to be improved and do enough to have 9 wins, and somehow, some way, that's going to be a tiebreaker with the Texans, because I don't think any of these teams are making any noise at all this year. Genuinely. I don't think the Jags are ready, and I think the Texans are going to disappoint even with this, an unbelievable defense. I have a giant question mark on the offensive side of the ball. They have DeMeco Ryans as their head coach, who is a defensive coordinator in his past time, who runs a very good defensive scheme, has a very good defense, but has no idea what they're doing offensively. They've never been creative. They have one guy they throw the ball to, and they've always relied on the fact that Joe Mixon has bailed them out. Joe Mixon is not there. He will not be there at least for the first four weeks of the year, starting as of today, and it's going to probably be longer than that. I am very concerned offensively for the Texans, which is why, you guys know me, I am staying away from Nico in fantasy, because I am very, very, very concerned for them offensively. The Titans, I have at third because people forget that the defense was very good last year and their offense screwed them over all year long. Will Levis threw pick sixes in the game when they only needed to score 14 points to win. That was an issue. The Colts, I agree with you, are dogfighting teams. I don't think they're going to do it this year, and I think Shane Steichen is going to be fired. That's how I feel about this Colts team. I think Daniel Jones, we give him credit for being okay. This team will not be okay. Coming from someone that watched them for 15 years, this team is not going to be okay. This team is going to be bad.
Even with T-War?
This team is bad. I'm telling you, I've watched it almost... 15 straight years of Sundays of the Colts before being a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. I'm telling you right now, this team is not good.
Well, don't give me any shit for this one. But I've got the Jags winning the division. I've got the Jags winning the division.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the Titans.
No, I don't have the Jags. No, I'm not that crazy. Wow. I do have the Jags winning. I love what Liam Cohen's got going on there. I love the energy that's in that organization and that franchise right now. It's nothing but positive and nothing but good. Love that they were bold enough to get a playmaker like Travis Hunter, who does bring juice and energy to that building that their quarterback just, in my opinion, does not bring whatsoever. That's neither here nor there. But I do have the Titans finishing second. People, there's always that team. I know. It's easy to pick the first overall quarterback and just this rookie fever that everybody has. Connor, I'd second what you said. Their defense is way better than people think, but their offense killed them last year. I like Cam Ward. I think he's a lot better than people think. I do have the Texans being third. Another instance, I just don't really like what's going on offensively right now. We a lot of questions on the offensive line. No running back right now. CJ Stroud, was it just a good first year or was it... now the standard of what he really is like in his second year. And then the Colts are just going to be god-awful. Absolutely horrible. So, but I do think Jags, 4 seed, nobody else makes the playoffs in that division. Really bad division.
Yeah, I think you bring up a fair point. I don't think it's necessarily a detriment, but it's fair to say Trevor Lawrence isn't the guy bringing the juice to that locker room. You know, I think of a clip of Travis Hunter, you know, going up and down the sideline, even when he's hurt, you know, high five and jacking everybody up. You know, it doesn't have to be the quarterback, although, you know, sometimes it's good for PR and it's nice when it is the leader of your team. But we saw it a couple years ago in Jacksonville with who's Arden Key. Was that who it was?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes these guys, you just need someone to put some juice into the locker room.
What is the ETA that Grant becomes a Jags fan?
When he realizes that they're in the playoff hunt.
Nah, I'm not going to I'm not going to put it on Grant to be that shallow. I say once Grant decides to permanently put his roots down, it's just a matter of time.
You know what it is?
You can't force Grant to sell out.
One tailgate, it's all we need.
One playoff game, Grant sold. That's what we need.
Well, sorry,
I'm glad we're all.
You gotta let Grant.
Yeah,
you gotta let Grant.
It's not happening, guys. I'm sorry. I think I finally decided. I'm a Bucks fan. I think I'm a Bucks fan.
You've decided that to that play action deep ball to BTJ is up there, and then Travis Hunter blocks.
Nope, don't care.
See, we're the type of people to recruit Grant and then talk shit about him for switching.
I mean, you guys did it to me for about 5 years.
Well.
In
division is a different story.
Look, I jumped on the board when I moved here, and after a few years, Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence were coming to town, and I thought I struck gold. I was like, this is a perfect time. 2-14, Trayvon Walker, come on aboard.
Yeah,
like, you did jump at the perfect time.
I was jumping at the perfect time.
Well, in hindsight, it actually was the perfect time because no one's going to accuse you of being a bandwagon.
Yeah.
Chuck, if you had to take the Jacksonville Jaguars history and point at the perfect time to be a fan without knowing what came next, I would have still done the same thing.
Nope.
I'd take right now, actually, Fogel.
Urban and Trevor without knowing what comes next? Come on.
Because Urban, you could have seen Urban. You could have seen Urban being a train wreck from
Well, you got to know, bro. I wasn't a college fan. I heard Urban was coming to town, and I started counting my pennies. I was like, bro, Urban's here?
Counting my pennies.
You're like, hey, Urban's here?
Hey, you said it, not me.
Yeah, Urban's here? Oh, let me get on board with this before it's too late, man. Because the second Trevor wins some games, I can't jump aboard.
Yeah, like, yep.
Well, fellas, this is where we will close it out for the night. Good luck in your fantasy draft. Enjoy it. And for those listening, we'll see you Thursday.
Cheers.
We got a trivia question?
Nope. Didn't think of it. Didn't have time. Well, not that I didn't have time. Didn't put the effort in to find one. So, sorry.
All right. Let me give you a trivia question. I'll give you 10 seconds here. You ready? All right. Grant might have to cut some of this out. I need about 25 seconds.
Thanks for making me work more.
He goes, yo, I got a question. Hold up.
Bro, Fogel, get it out here. We don't have time to wait. We can't have this dead air.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
The two of you will get this immediately. One of you will not. There is a running back in the NFL who was considered elite, who had a 16-touchdown rushing season, as well as a 14-touchdown rushing season. But in his 8-year NFL career, he never had 1,000 yards on the ground. Who is it?
I think I know it, but
I'm sure you do.
Alvin Kamara.
Grant?
I mean, yeah, you thought of that too quickly. You had to think of someone that's well-known.
Well, for the guys that play fantasy, I feel like it's very obvious. But for the guys that don't, like Grant.
I'm going to go crazy, even though I know it's wrong, just to be this guy. I'm going to say A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Yeah, Dillon crazy. Had a 16-touchdown season.
I'm going to
put
say...
Put him inside the 5-yard line.
I'm going to say Raheem Mostert.
You know what, Kojo? If I actually look at Raheem's stats... Before I give you the correct answer, let me just check that out because that might be right because I know what the correct answer is. So Raheem Mostert actually had an 18-touchdown season but had 1,012 yards.
On wow.
The wow.
The correct answer is Alvin Kamara.
Well, I guessed him because I know he's never hit 1,000 rushing yards, which is crazy for how good he is.
With a 16-touchdown rushing season. Didn't hit 1,000 yards on the ground.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, good luck on your drafts, boys.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Fellas. Cheers.
Peace.
Take care. God bless.